Our special guest today is Terry Bolton, and he is 23 years a pro fishing guy, over $1 million in career earnings, 13 FLW Forest Wood Cup appearances, two-time BFL All-American qualifier, 46 career top 10 finishes. So, Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, you're welcome, man. We're going to talk about summer fishing tactics for bass today. You know, as we're well into June, a lot of bass anglers will start experimenting with more aggressive techniques on the water. What are some of the, you know, if a bass fisherman wants to do this, what's the first thing they need to learn?
Well, you know, I think whenever you get into the summertime, of course, your water's warmer, obviously, and the fish become more active. And, you know, summertime is a great time to, you know, start out with topwater baits, you know, especially early in the morning, late in the evening, and even a lot of times this time of year during the middle of the day. You know, Terminator makes a great buzz bait, and you can, you know, buzz bait's a lure you can fish around, you know, shallow vegetation, you know, lay down trees, logs. And another thing that happens too during the summertime is if you'll kind of pay attention, no matter what lake or river that you're on, as the sun gets higher through the middle of the day, you'll start to see shade. And shade can be caused by trees, boat docks, walkways. And I love to hunt shade, especially in the middle of a hot day. I don't care if it's 100 degrees, and throw that topwater bait in those shaded areas, because number one, bass will use that to ambush. And number two, it's a little bit cooler water, and that bass likes that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, we always talk about topwater fishing early in the morning before the sun gets up over the trees. But anytime you can find shade, that's the same conditions as early morning.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, shade really becomes important in the middle of the summer. And you can catch some really big bass shallow in shade pockets and shaded areas, even in the middle of the summer.
You mentioned the Terminator spinnerbait series, but what size bait do you like?
Typically, I like a half ounce. I like a little bit heavier size bait, half, 3/8. Mm-hmm. I just like that just to be able for the being able to cast it. It seems like a heavier bait. It's a little easier to cast, and I can kind of roll cast that into tighter areas and up underneath things. It takes a little practice, you know. Yeah. A lot of times you can, when you start trying to cast underneath stuff, you can mess up and throw it in the trees or throw it up on top of a dock. But, you know, I think once you learn to cast the bait, you know, practice makes perfect. You'll find, you know, the better caster you become, the bigger fish you'll catch.
Well, let's talk about picking a color for a spinner bait. What conditions would cause you to pick, let's say, a white one?
You know, I try to keep my color selection pretty simple. Chartreuse or white. I like a white bait in more clear water. Mm-hmm. Say visibility that would be, you know, closer to 2 foot or greater. But I try not to make it too hard. I probably throw chartreuse and white probably 95% of the time.
Is there any time that you like to throw a darker color?
Well, I'll throw, you know, of course, some of the darker colors, you know, a lot of people like a solid black spinnerbait, which, you know, a lot of times people throw that at night. But, mm-hmm. you know, you can catch fish on a black lure deer in the middle of the day, especially in dirty, off-colored water.
I see. Yeah, I have heard of black worms being the ticket for nighttime fishing for bass, so I guess a black spinnerbait's the same principle.
Yes, it is. You know, fish silhouette, you know, that's what people always used to tell me when I first started night fishing years ago, that fish can silhouette your lure in the dark, which seems odd to me, but mm-hmm. I don't see it's black outside and the lure's black, so it doesn't make, but they say they can, so.
Yeah. It seems to work. Speaking of nighttime fishing, you know, July's right around the corner, and it's usually one of the hottest months of the year down here in South Alabama. So our magazine in July is dedicated completely, almost 100% of it, for nighttime activity. So I want to let everybody know to watch for that. We've got everything from flounder gigging and frogging to everything in there that you can do at night. So,
speaking of that, Terry, you know, you do most of your fishing on Kentucky Lake, is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Yes.
Have the dock lights and the underwater lights, has that caught on up there? Is that type of fishing popular?
You know, it's really not. You know, and I've traveled, you know, like I said, I've traveled the country, you know, all over the country for the last 25 years fishing. And, you know, you get into, you know, Alabama, the Carolinas. You know, I noticed when I was at Smith Lake back early in the year, you know, a lot of dock lights at Smith Lake in Alabama, Lake Eufaula in Alabama. I've seen them there, but it's really not that big here in Kentucky. That's kind of, it's kind of, you know, it's big everywhere else, but not here.
Hmm. Well, we talked a lot about, you know, spinner baits, but let's talk about these shallow diving crankbaits. Give us some ideas on how to throw those.
Well, you know, that's another thing. You know, whenever you get into the hot summertime, you know, shallow crankbaits, number one, you know, I always said a lot of times on our deeper reservoirs, a lot of times your bass will go deep in June and kind of recover from the spawn. Then they spend the, as you get more back into July, those fish start to come back shallow. And of course, you know, that's when shallow crankbaits really start to kick back in, other than the early spring. And you know, Rapala just come out with a new crankbait called the BX Brat. And it's a bossel bait that's encased in plastic, so it's very buoyant, but it's very, very durable. In other words, you can throw it against rocks and bridge pilings and boat docks, and you won't tear it up like you will a lot of other bossel baits. So, you know, one of my favorite ways to fish at this time of year is I love to target shallow cover, as far as lay down trees, logs, docks, stumps, anything that I can physically cast that crankbait, and I want to really bump it into that piece of cover, whatever it might be, and I want it to make contact and cause it to deflect off. And a lot of times you'll find, you know, especially this time of year, you'll have all those little minnows around there. And even though I always tell people, make multiple casts with that crankbait. If you find a good-looking tree or a good-looking stump, make multiple casts, because a lot of times it may take three or four casts to that target before you'll ever get that fish to bite. Because a lot of times it's like aggravating him. You know, it bumps through there. And if he's not real aggressive, that third or fourth time it ricochets through there, you'll get him to react to it.
That's funny. It sounds a lot like our triple tail here in Mobile Bay. They're the same way. If you're fishing next to a piling or something like that, a lot of times you got to throw up there three, four, five, even five times before they'll finally react to it. But I want to step back a little bit to something you were talking about. You were talking about hunting shade, and and just now you were saying, you know, you look for these lay down trees. And with you fishing all over the country, and I'm sure you're constantly on new bodies of water, places you've never been before. Do you do any remote scouting? Are you able to use any aerial or imagery tools to maybe identify stretches of bank or certain creeks that you really want to target? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, if the sun's going to be in the morning, you know, you got a westward facing sun or, you know, that kind of thing, you would know that, you know, eastern banks are going to have shade as opposed to the western banks. So do you do anything like that?
I do that some. I use the Google Maps some to look at, but sometimes when you use those maps, you don't know when that photo could have been taken of a reservoir during drawdown, and it may not have updated. So sometimes I'm kind of looking at these areas. I'm looking for boat docks. I'm looking for, you know, a creek that maybe winds back in that maybe you can get a bass boat way back up into it, or looking at where rivers might come in. So I use it, and as far as the, you know, I guess sometimes in the early spring, I'll use it to look at those north or eastern, northeastern sides, because they'll catch a lot of times, northwestern sides, and I'll use that a lot of times because that'll be protected from the north wind. A lot of times that's the first water to warm up in the early spring, so I do use it some.
It's interesting. It parallels deer hunting a lot, you know, so when you're looking at, think about a particularly cold morning, got a north wind, and you want to look for those southern-facing slopes so that those deer will lay on the other side of that to get out of it. It's funny you say that.
Exactly.
It reminds me
exactly.
Of that.
And the bass are the same way, especially, you know, and of course, in southern Alabama, that's more of a January, February thing, but up here in my part of the country, it's more February, March. So especially early in the year, I use it a lot.
getting back to the Rapala BX Brat, that's a fairly new lure on the market. You said it was a balsa wood lure encased in plastic?
That's right. That's right. It's a balsa wood lure, and it has a clear plastic coating over it. So it's and what that does is that, you know, normal balsa baits are, you know, are painted, and then that's sure. it. And yeah. the paint or the coating is all that there is to protect it. So you have to be careful casting them. Yeah. You know, if you hit rocks and stuff, you can chip them and scratch them and knock chunks out of them. But this has a hard, clear plastic coat, so you can see through it.
Well,
that protects it.
We need to give one to Joe so he can see if he can tear it up. He can tear up anything. We've been talking to Rapala pro staffer and professional bass fisherman, Mr. Terry Bolton, and we've covered spinner baits and those shallow diving crankbaits, but we hadn't talked about buzz baits. And the theme of this show today is power fishing for bass. So let's talk about buzz baits a minute. How do you like to use your buzz bait? When do you throw them? When's your favorite time to throw them? And tell us how you do that.
You know, a buzz bait's a lure that I'll start throwing one anytime the water gets, say, 55 degrees or above. But this time of year, I especially, you know, summertime is when I really like to throw them. Like I said, I love to throw them anywhere that I can. And we talked earlier about hunting shade. And that's the thing about a buzz bait is, you know, a lot of times the middle of the day, you know, everybody thinks a buzz bait's an early morning, late evening, and it is, and that you may get more activity, but even right in the middle of the day, that's when I really like to throw a buzz bait. You know, throw it around shallow vegetation, any type of shallow cover I can find, riprap, rocks, anywhere, anything. It doesn't matter. It's not a limit to where you can't catch a fish on a buzz bait.
And so, there's any particular color of skirt that you like better than others?
You know, once again, the buzz bait, I kind of try to, I usually either throw, my two favorite colors are either a white one or a black one. Mm-hmm. And typically, I like a black buzz bait a lot of times on a, if the water's clean on a bright sunny day, I like a black one. On a cloudy day, that's when I'll tend to throw more a solid white one. Because I think that's just more of a silhouette type thing. You got to remember, a fish is looking up at a buzz bait.
I got you. And there again, what size bait do you like?
Typically, I stick with a heavier size baits, halves and 3/8. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I may add a trailer hook to the back of my buzz bait. You know, VMC makes a lot of great trailer hooks, and you know, with a buzz bait, a lot of times you'll get some short strikes and some fish that'll nip and roll at it. So I do like to add a trailer hook when I can. If the cover's real thick or real heavy, if you're fishing a lot of real brushy trees and that type of stuff, then, you know, you're gonna get hung up some more with a trailer hook by adding two hooks. Or if there's a lot of real fine vegetation at times, I may tend not to use the trailer hook because you're always going to be hanging some of that grass. But a trailer hook, though, will catch you some fish that you would have missed otherwise.
Terry, one of the things that I've always struggled with fishing topwater, whether it's saltwater or freshwater, is deciding when to stop, number one. I mean, you know, we know early and late, you've heard that your whole life, but you're talking about fish in the middle of the day, but really it's right. that transition. And, you know, let's say I'm fishing in the morning and I've got my top water on, it's when do I give up on it, number one? And then, is there anything that I should be looking for leading up into the middle of the day to say, man, maybe I need to tie a top water on and give that a shot?
Well, you know, a lot of times I find, you know, if you get a day where if you get a day where it's just really bright sunny skies, there's not a cloud in the sky, a lot of times it does seem like after 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, your topwater strikes do start to go down. Those fish may really bury up in cover and start to become less active and roaming more. But seem like a lot of days, if especially with like a buzz bait, days that, you know, you'll get a little more cloud cover where we would say partly sunny or partly cloudy conditions where you got a few clouds coming through and you get a little bit of chop on the water, And that's where I think a buzzbait's good, too, especially when you get a little bit of chop on the water, because that blade turning and spitting that water, I think that really kind of draws, it creates more commotion. Because you got, like I said, once again, you got to always remember with a topwater bait, a bass is looking up. And I think that commotion of that blade kind of draws more attention, especially when you got a little chop on the water. I think they can see it and find it better.
Well, you know, we talked about this earlier in the show before we had you on, and I think this is another thing that I've struggled with. I know a lot of other guys that are throwing topwater struggle with is setting the hook too early. You know, they see the fish bite and they send that bait flying right back at them. So, you know, what I've started to do in saltwater is, you know, if I'm fishing for, say, speckled trout with the topwater, is I don't even set the hook. I just let them, you know, I wait until I feel the fish.
Is it
the same thing with bass?
Same way with bass. You just have to kind of wait till you feel that fish pull. Mm-hmm. And that's when you want to set the hook.
Well, that's all good information, Terry. We sure appreciate Rapala and you taking the time to be with us today. We've learned a lot. And when's your next tournament?
I'm actually leaving Saturday to go to Michigan to Lake St. Clair to chase a few smallmouth.
Well, we'll be watching you, and good luck to you, buddy. Thank you.
Well, thank you.